This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Here on RNIB Connect Radio, we know how much the cost of living crisis is impacting on the lives of blind and partially sighted people, and with energy prices going up, making it harder and harder to heat your home too. Well, don't worry if you are looking for a warm and welcoming space near you to keep warm, have a warm drink and a chat, as the RNIB have been working with Warm Welcome Spaces to ensure that participating local venues are accessible and welcoming to blind and partially sighted people. David Barclay from Good Faith, one of the main organisations behind Warm Welcome Spaces, and Steve Packer, head of ESG and sustainability here at the R9B, join me now to tell me more about the accessibility of Warm Welcome Spaces. Welcome to R9B Connect Radio, David and Steve.
Thanks, Toby.
Thanks, Toby. Great to be here.
Firstly, David, would you be able to tell me how Warm Welcome Spaces came about, along with some background to the involvement of Good Faith in the initiative, as I think this sort of came about very quickly at the beginning of the cost of living crisis?
That's right, yeah. So the Good Faith Partnership is an organisation that exists to try and help different sectors work better together on big social issues. So we operate at the intersection of faith communities and the charity sector and business and government at different levels. And so when the cost of living crisis was really starting to bite and we could see energy prices rising very fast in 2022, we convened a meeting between a number of civil society and faith leaders and former Prime Minister Gordon Brown to talk about the situation and what could potentially be done about it. And one of the things that Gordon Brown was talking about was the likely high levels of need for these community warm spaces through the following winter. But he painted quite a dystopian picture as to what those spaces might look and feel like. He talked about train station waiting room style heated spaces. And we all kind of came out of that meeting thinking, well, we have to do something better than a train station waiting room for people. And so that was really where this idea of Warm Welcome and Warm Welcome Spaces came from, was how can we support local organisations of many different kinds to offer something which is not just about a place of physical warmth, but a place of human warmth and connection as well.
Steve, the RNIB was very quick to get involved with many of the first Warm Welcome Spaces as they were in public libraries. And of course, the RNIB has worked very closely with local libraries over the years.
Yeah, I mean, to put in context, following on from what David said, in as far back as July 2022, RNIB recognised the impact that the cost of living crisis could potentially have on blind and partially sighted people. A task force was set up across the wider RNIB organisation, closely followed by a smaller delivery response unit led by me and Sophie Dodgen, our head of policy and public affairs. Warm Welcome Spaces was one of the areas we identified as being of benefit to blind and partially sighted people. This was in addition to the work we were doing with the energy retailers and also supermarkets. Laura Marshall, our library engagement manager, had already been looking at RNIB's future activities in Warm Spaces. She came across Good Faith, and between us all, we started to have some meaningful conversations about a possible collaboration. And that relationship has grown due to the extent that we have shared best practice and signposted, in particular, the libraries that are participating in the Warm Welcome Spaces campaign. And there's been a unique synergy between our values and supporting not just blind and partially sighted people, but other vulnerable or disability groups.
Steve, what sort of advice and support has the RNIB been providing to Warm Welcome Spaces? I mean, sort of practical things or sort of training and that kind of stuff?
So RNIB has been able to share its expertise in the library space and provide guidance on the accessibility of the library buildings and the type of formats that are used by those with sight loss. We have shared the insight involving staff perception within the libraries and the training needs that are required and offered through our library services, as well as highlighting the various formats that are used, namely large print, audio, and to a lesser extent, braille.
David, what might a blind or partially sighted person expect if they do walk into their nearest local warm welcome space? What sort of welcome will they receive, and what else might be on offer to them?
Well, I think what they should expect is a warm welcome. So we try and help prepare all of our warm welcome spaces to really think carefully about the experience of someone coming in potentially for the first time to that space. And so I hope that they would be greeted by someone who would be looking to kind of build a relationship with them to help understand who they are, what they're looking for, and why they've come to use the space. We don't have a kind of mandatory set of things that all warm welcome spaces have to provide. We very much leave it up to the local spaces to decide what's going to work best for their community. But one of the things that we have noticed is that for lots of warm spaces, food and drink is at the heart of what they're offering. And so hopefully a hot cup of tea or coffee would be on offer and potentially some kind of meal or food. But then warm spaces also offer a huge range of different activities. You know, some of them are running kind of physical activities, sports type activities. Some of them have music or craft or creative activities available, a huge range of things. So there's very much the opportunity within each space, either just to spend time on your own or to connect with others and potentially do an activity together. But that will depend very much on the type of space.
And it's not just sort of public libraries, community hubs and churches that are sort of getting involved in warm welcome spaces. As I found from having a quick sort of search on the website, that near me, a local business hub has got involved in becoming a warm welcome space and offering things like, you know, opportunities to charge up your phone and that kind of thing. So there's a great variety of spaces that are getting involved now.
There is, and that's part of, you know, us really broadening this coalition and broadening the message to say that warm welcome spaces are really for everyone. You don't have to be struggling to put the heating on at home or, you know, challenged with the cost of living crisis to be able to use a warm welcome space. You might be looking for connection and friendship for a whole variety of different reasons. You might just be looking for somewhere warm to work. I've certainly had various times through the last couple of winters where I've been sitting at home in the cold in my house, you know, working and thinking, actually, I'd much rather be in a warm cafe, and it'll probably, you know, it might even cost me the same to get a coffee at the cafe as it does to keep my home warm. So there's lots of warm spaces that offer that kind of co-working Wi-Fi, and so they can be great places for that as well.
And I suppose sort of finally, David, and also to you, Steve, but first to you, David, how long do you think warm welcome spaces will be running for? And Steve, will the RNIB continue to provide support and advice to ensure that the spaces are accessible to blind and partially sighted people?
So in terms of the warm welcome campaign, this winter, the campaign formally runs until the clocks change at the end of March. We started at the end of October when the clocks changed, and then we'll go through to the end of March. But we've got all kinds of signposting and support for groups that want to carry on. And we know many of our groups do carry on beyond the end of the winter. Looking longer term, I mean, sadly, I don't think the cost of living crisis is going to disappear anytime soon. But even if it did, I think what we've discovered about warm spaces is that people might come for the warmth, but they stay for the welcome. And that sense of social connection, places to meet others, to belong, to participate and to contribute in local communities are hugely valuable assets that make an enormous difference to lots of different kinds of people. And so I think our vision now for warm welcome, it started very much as an emergency crisis response. But what we've learned and the way it's grown and developed and the partnerships that we've been able to form make us think that actually we might have something really of value for the long term and to try and create that whole of society support for local community groups to create these places of warmth and welcome.
Yeah, I can totally concur with everything that David said. The cost of living crisis is not going away, despite the fact that inflation came down last month. That was quite heavily influenced by factors outside of eating and heating. RNIB continue to have a task force and delivery response unit. We have a strategy that goes right through the year, particularly focusing on winter. I think the relationship we've established will continue, and we will look at how we can support each other in optimising, you know, the experience for blind and partially sighted people. I think also with our experience in library services and our continued focus on that particular area, we will continue to influence that particular space. I think one of the areas that we didn't mention as well of benefit is, this was highlighted during the pandemic, the pure isolation and lack of self-confidence that blind and partially sighted people faced, having not been able to get out. And to be able to go to a warm welcome space and interact with others and have a range of activities in some cases is of enormous benefit to those. And that alone is worth its weight in gold. So a very important aspect of the initiative.
David, if listeners would like to find their nearest warm welcome space, what is the website address that they need to go to find that local space?
It's warmwelcome.uk. And as you said, Toby, you can find on there a map of the whole country, which shows different warm welcome spaces and when they're open, what they're offering. So do have a look if you can and check out what's happening in your local community and go and find out more if it's something that you want to use, that you want to go along to as a guest, or maybe even something that you want to get involved in and offer your help as a volunteer.
And I can vouch that that website is pretty much accessible for screen reader users. Well, thank you very much indeed, David and Steve, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about warm welcome spaces.
Thanks, Toby.
Thanks, Toby.